Hello, this is Christy Kalavig, host of Vital Connections On Air. We have been experiencing some really difficult things in the last few months, and we know that there are more challenges ahead. At the Center for Community Vitality, we have been working to bring topics and partners together through webinars and articles since the end of March to get you the information that you need. Now I'm going back to those educators and asking them for updates and insights on what we should be doing in our current context. I'm sharing small parts from these long conversations over the next several weeks so that we can listen, reconnect with ideas, and hopefully take the next small steps. Here's part of my conversation with Bridget Tuck, Senior Economic Analyst, and Neil Linscheid, Community Economics Educator, as our discussion shifted to COVID impacts on retail and business succession.
One of the things that I think is important to remember about so many of the economic models that are out there and that we rely upon is that it's an assumption of things will be mostly like they were yesterday. And we just know that things aren't going to be like they were yesterday or 2 months ago or 3 months ago. And we see that major businesses are finding new ways to do business. They're finding new ways to get the things done that they need to with people working virtually. They're finding new products that they are being asked to create. And all of those things have impacts on other businesses as well. Other supply chains are being impacted. And when we want to look at those things, in the webinar, Bridget talked about the production function. And that's just an idea of like, what does it look like to run a business? How much do you spend on toilet paper for your offices? How much do you spend on electricity? And who do you purchase those things from? Well, we know those things will be different. And I don't think we just don't know enough yet on how different those will be. And we won't know for quite some time what that'll look like. So if we thought that our data was inadequate before this, now I think we're all saying, we really are at a disadvantage of understanding all the rapid changes that have happened across the entire economy. The other thing that I think is important, especially on the retail side, is there is still some stability that's out there. Like, people still need to eat. They still make purchases. They still are purchasing food from the grocery store. They still would like to purchase things from restaurants if they could. And there is some spending that still has to happen and is essential. In our small communities, coming back to those essentials isn't the worst thing, because they're those small businesses that provide services like a hardware store or your local grocery store when people don't want to leave. They're able to capture more of that market. So I guess the message there is, well, our estimates of how big a retail market really is are probably not going to change all that much. But our estimates of where people make those purchases, will they make them locally or will they drive the 60 miles to the nearest regional center? Those are the things that are really, I think, being questioned right now and being reassessed.
Do we have any idea how much people are still going out and spending?
I think that's where the lag in the data just
sure
help us right now. Because we just, like our retail sales data and stuff lags by a year usually before we, in extension, get it. But even for the statewide level, I'm not sure that anyone sort of has that yet.
There is some information. I haven't looked at it in a while, so I don't want to get to specifics on it. But there's a company that will provide information on credit card sales. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the University of Kentucky, our counterparts in Kentucky, that did some mining of that kind of information to show how the retail sales slowdown has happened and what kind of things it was affecting. So there are people that do know, like a credit card company would know a about that. And individual businesses would know if their sales have gone down on the retail side. And, you know, in Minnesota, there's so many businesses that are closed. We have to assume in some categories that it's been, you know, if it was 10% of what it was, that would be a blessing when your business has been closed for a number of months.
Right. And I think I saw, to your point, Neil, about kind of the necessities, I think I saw that like Target sales like were sky high or as record highs in this quarter, but their profits were down because some of the things that we, the profit margin, you know, the bigger profit margins like clothing and things like that, people are buying less of that, but people were still buying, you know, necessary day-to-day supplies. So there's an online sales particularly. I do think kind of one thing that I hear in this conversation too is just that uncertainty. So consumer spending is something around two-thirds of our economy is driven by consumer spending. And so as consumers kind of figure out how this is playing out, I think there are some of us that even if we still have, you know, there's the unemployed and they have the unemployment insurance piece, right, Neil? But at the same time, there are people that, you know, perhaps you and I can fall in this category. We still have our jobs, but the university is looking at, you know, we may have some changes coming or people's companies may be doing all right now, but looking at cost saving measures that would include, you know, impacts back on employees. So consumers may be kind of pulling back in their shells a little bit on some of this, you know, extra credit spending, if you will. And then as we become more comfortable with what's happening, maybe would come, hopefully consumer spending will increase as folks sort of understand how their job situation is going to be.
Mm-hmm. There's some other things that I think they're out there and we don't always recognize them. There was a paper that just came out recently from our friends in Iowa that looked at retail churn. So the difference between business starts and business exits, and what they were interested in was, you know, how big a factor is this? And one thought is, well, if there are a lot of firm exits, there's a lot of churn, people that want to start a business will look at that and say, I see this as a real opportunity. If I start a business, it goes well, I might sell it and someone else will be around to buy it. That's a good thing. And for many of our small communities, it's just, you know, things don't churn that much. There's not that, that big of a transition in ownership. And some of our other work on business succession and looking at that at the community level is really to just help make those people that want to sell their business comfortable and do that in an effective way so that the next generation of business owners can come along. And I'll tell you, I think it's hard work to do that. Now is a historic number of businesses exiting the market. Yeah. So we have to ask, is that an opportunity? It's a sad opportunity, but it might be something that new business owners or people who want to start new businesses are considering and saying, hey, we could make a go at this now.
You guys have been doing a lot of work around business transition, the silver tsunami, as you termed it, and that type of thing. Will this accelerate that?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to predict. Here's the things that I'll be watching. I think we'll be watching for if people were on the edge of retirement and they had a retirement account, how badly was that depleted and difficult? Maybe it delays their decision to sell, that they need to actually keep this business going longer and their calculus on their ability to retire is different. Some of those businesses right now, I think we'll be watching how many end up not coming back. They won't be able to reopen. It's a sizable number. I don't think anyone's guessing that every business that closed now, even with the support programs, will come back. And we know that we'll probably just continue to see stories in the news on a regular basis about businesses that did not decide to come back. But again, even though those businesses may not be able to come back and reopen and be successful, it doesn't mean that the markets for some of the goods and services that they provide are entirely gone. But if it's a deeper recession, those markets could be significantly reduced. People's willingness and interest in spending on restaurants, on retail shopping that isn't food could be diminished. But I don't know if anybody knows that yet. What do you think, Bridget?
Well, I agree with what you're saying. I think the other thing too, that our business owners are perhaps being tested in ways they've never been tested before. I mean, you look at even with what happened in the recession of 2009 is very different from the way this is playing out. And so I hear anecdotally quite a bit that business owners are really trying to figure out how do we deploy our assets in the best way. So, you know, they may have qualified for one of these programs. There's this payroll protection program that a lot of businesses have taken advantage of. But the question is, you know, do we use that to pay our employees? Do we hold on to that money in case we need it in another 3 or 4 weeks? Do we pay rent? I mean, they are making some of the toughest decisions. So even an experienced business owner, to get to the business succession piece, you know, they're making some decisions that they maybe, even if they've owned a business for 30 years, haven't had to face before. And so I think it's a little unprecedented in the fact that some of those savvy business owners may find themselves not really sure how to proceed, even in the face of having that experience. What do you think, Neil? Have you kind of heard that too from?
Yeah, I have heard from people in my network. Just again, stories and anecdotes about you know, those really successful business owners that haven't had to take out a loan in 20 years now having to do that, and you know the changes and difficulty that's causing for them to have to consider that and have to consider the ramifications of doing that. There's also an interesting thing that I would like to watch more, and I'd like to see how it plays out. There might be a situation where capital is available. Loans might be available for you, but if you're looking at your business and you're not sure where it's going to go, there might be people that say, even though I could take out a loan, I won't. Even though I qualify, I don't want to do this because I'm just not sure how that will affect my financial future in the long run. And so that, I think that's a really difficult situation that I'm sure we'll see features of. I don't know how widespread it will be.
I was just going to add to your list of things to watch, Neil, with this business succession too, is I wonder in our kind of greater Minnesota, especially small communities, about ownership of space. You know, a lot of, we don't necessarily have a lot of malls and places where people are renting space, but maybe a higher level of, you know, a business owner owning a space. So I'm kind of curious to see when we see about these rent forgiveness programs and all that kind of stuff in businesses. Seems like the biggest issue with businesses is paying rent. And if they own the building, do you think that's going to change the outcome? You know, if you've owned a business for 30 years and you own that building outright, you don't have rent to pay, as opposed to a new business owner who maybe just bought the building and has a mortgage to make or mm-hmm. a payment. So I think that would be a very interesting to maybe see how that plays out too.
You have the opportunity to take risk differently if you own your space compared to if you're just getting started.
And sometimes those really fundamental things that they can be the most instructive about what's going on in your community and can help you identify places where we might need to be more creative as a community on supporting this business or finding a way to help them through it, is understanding, well, owning versus renting might make a difference. And right now, like, what's the best thing you could do? Not wait for a study to tell you that, but go and ask your business owners how big those factors are and what's really getting in their way.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Bridget Tuck and Neil Lynchide for joining me for this conversation. Please make sure to visit the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality webpage at extension.umn.edu/community-development, where you will find more resources on economics in Minnesota and your community, as well as all of the recordings of the webinars and articles that we're releasing during this COVID time. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. We hope that you will join us for our next episode of Vital Connections on Air, and please stay well.